Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal here with my partner, Francis Schott. We own Stage Left Restaurant in New Brunswick, New Jersey, and we're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon or just through restaurantguysradio.com.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, Francis.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm very excited to talk about etiquette today.
You are, only because I was a little rude, everybody. I was late to the studio today. Mark's a little mad at me, and I don't know if you heard it in his voice when he said, with my partner, he was thinking, for now, Francis Schott.
Today. You're my partner today.
We have on the show later on a woman named Maureen Wild, who is an expert in etiquette, and etiquette classes are on the rise. Believe it or not, Jersey is leading the way in etiquette classes, and they're very necessary in business today, which is sort of a sad state of affairs, isn't it?
It is indeed a sad state of affairs. We were paging through the internet, and you found this website called
Executive Planet.
Executive Planet, that's it.
And they have tips for etiquette.
Tips for you going, and actually a very good website for when you're going to be traveling abroad. But what I found really funny and interesting were the tips that they had for people coming to the United States.
Yeah, this is, if you're going to go to a foreign country, you want to check out what's proper, what you should tip, how you should treat people, and they're very different throughout the world. You know, saying no to an invitation to dinners can sometimes cost you a business deal.
Sure, of course.
You know, whereas,
of
you
course,
know, you
or saying no
like...
to food, or saying no to a cigarette, or,
exactly,
you know, one little faux pas like that.
Or saying yes to it when it's offered the first time.
Right.
I mean, it's a dangerous minefield out there. So, but it was interesting, Mark's right. I clicked on what they tell other people who are coming to America to give them tips about what we do a little differently than most of the
world. It definitely amused me to see what they look at and what they see the differences, what's okay and what's not.
Do you know what I think is funny? The first piece of advice they give, it's a good idea to practice driving before getting on freeways in America. I agree.
Yes. We get very mad at you if you're not a good driver.
I agree, all you foreigners.
I loved... It is not considered rude to eat while walking down the street.
I know.
Because we do it all the time.
Give me a hot dog.
That's it.
Just don't get the chili dog on your tie.
The faster you're going, the faster you eat. That's our rule.
I have the picture of this guy walking down the street with a chili dog and the tie flipped over his shoulder so he doesn't get the chili on his tie. That's America.
It's Americana.
That's as American as Bruce Springsteen, born in the USA. It also talks about how smoking is a no-no, and it's funny, if you go to the other countries' websites, the etiquette is you would never smoke unless you offered everyone else a cigarette first.
Right, precisely. I like this one where it says about home entertaining. It says, if you will be entertained in a home, expect the host or hostess's spouse or partner to be a full participant in the conversation.
Yeah, because that ain't happening in Egypt.
Exactly. Exactly. Really depends on where you are.
Americans tend to refrain from greetings that involve hugging, especially men. And no kissing.
The backslap is sometimes used as a sign of friendship or camaraderie. In some cultures, they cut your hands off if you slap them in the back.
I think that's a little extreme. But, you know, it's funny because Mark and I travel a lot for the wine business. And, you know, in our business in general, we love to travel. And we have friends from all over the world. And it is very interesting how things are different in different places. Mm-hmm. In Argentina, for example, people get very close. Like when you talk to someone in a business conversation, you're like 8 inches from them.
Yeah.
And, you know, in America,
I'm not crazy about that.
Only when you want to kiss someone are you 8 inches from them. And it says that right here. It says, the standard space between you and your conversation partner in America should be about 2 feet. Most U.S. executives will be uncomfortable standing at a closer distance. And no kissing.
All right,
Unless you mean it.
I just have one more. When sitting, U.S. citizens look very relaxed. Crossing legs over knee over knee is not considered arrogant as in other cultures. It really depends on who's doing it.
Yeah. Well, also, it was very interesting to look at this because that's something that I only realized after I'd visited other places very many times, that to like lean back and cross your legs, is a little too relaxed for most business environments in most countries. That's a little rude.
Yep.
It's sort of like laying on somebody's couch, you know, here. It's
right.
The same sort
right.
of thing.
So I'm going to curl up and take a little nap, okay?
Do you know what's something that I've also gotten away from that I don't like about Americans? Well, I don't, something, a question that I enjoy not engaging in. Our default first question is, oh, what do you do
what
for
do you
living?
Do?
It, that is so rude in so many places, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just not done. I think that's an interesting difference in
it,
the culture.
It is interesting, and I'm very excited to talk about etiquette today.
Yeah, well, before we talk about etiquette, let's talk about food.
We have Bill Walker, I see, is on the line. So why don't we talk to him about what's going on in New Jersey right now?
Bill Walker. Hey. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how you doing, gentlemen? It's going to be a beautiful weekend out there.
Let me tell everyone in the audience who you are. Bill Walker was with the Department of Agriculture of the state of New Jersey. He's with a program called Jersey Fresh. We all have problems with a lot of the things the government does wrong, but this is one of the programs that the government does right. And Bill knows all about what's coming up on Jersey farms, and you should see in your farm stands and your local markets. And if you don't see these things, go up to the manager of the store and say, why aren't you buying local produce? What should we see out there, Bill?
Well, basically, of course, we're still jamming. Middle of the season, any kind of best varieties you're going to have out there, your mid-season varieties are
Did
out
Did you
there.
Just say jamming?
Jamming.
Jamming.
You know, basil, tomatoes, cantaloupes, cucumbers, eggplant, peaches, peppers, sweet corn, squash. Blueberries should just about be done. None of the supermarkets are carrying them anymore. They're into Michigan, but you might be able to find a few. But get after the peaches. White peaches started this week, and I know how you guys love them.
Love
we
white
do.
Peaches.
I want people to get out this weekend. There's so much going on. There's all kinds of agricultural events. There's community farmers markets. There's our state fair. The Sussex County Fair gets a million people over the 10 days. A pick-your-own while we've still got food to be picked.
Yeah, I tell you. Bill, I had some great cantaloupes just the other day, some Jersey cantaloupes. And I'm not talking about what we know as a cantaloupe is the muskmelon,
right.
but a true cantaloupe which has like
with
striations.
Flavor?
It was spectacular. Really delicious.
It's amazing how hollow they can be, like a middle-of-the-winter strawberry from California, you know?
Yep.
That's exactly what happens.
You know,
just a clue again for people when you're buying a melon. Smell it right there at that point where it comes off the
vine.
The vine, and you'll get a good idea of what it's going to taste like in the middle.
You're very right.
Hey, and listen, everybody, you live in the Garden State, and one of the things we're experiencing is the small family farms have realized that the way for them to stay on the farm is to produce super high-quality produce. And if we want to keep our farmers farming, and you don't want them all and it all to be taken over by one giant shopping mall, you got to buy the fruit. You got to enjoy it. When I was a kid, I thought, listening to somebody talk about fruit like this, they were crazy. You know, I was into candy bars and the like. But I never realized as a little kid that, fruit in season locally is better than a candy
bar. See, I was different than you. I went for fruit and candy bars.
That's what I do now.
It's the best in the world, guys. I tell people, you live in Ohio, you eat Ohio fresh. Wherever you're at, you eat what's coming right out of the field or off the vine. You don't get any better.
Bill, tell us what there are for people to do in New Jersey.
Well, first of all, we can get out this weekend. The New Jersey State Fair and the Sussex County Fair are both up at they're combined now. They're up at the Sussex County Fairgrounds. They get a million people over 10 days. That goes through Sunday. We have the Trenton Farmers Market with a Peach Day this Saturday.
Peach Day.
And your Museum of Ag for folks right there in New Brunswick. They're having a honey harvest weekend. So get out there on Saturday and
Terrific.
Learn about bees and what's going on. And Howe Farm on Route 29 there has a lot going on with wagon tours and whatnot this weekend as well. So you get people to just get to our website, thejerseyfresh.nj.gov, and I'm sure they can get it off of your website. And let's get them out there and enjoying the weekend. It's going to be 90 each day. It's going to be beautiful.
That's great. And just a hint for some of our listeners out there, I have a friend who's very into holistic medicine who says if you eat local honey, it will help protect you against local allergies,
which I
thought was interesting.
Makes sense.
And I have a friend who's a witch doctor who says...
Bill, thanks very much for being with us today.
Hey, thank you, man. Take care.
You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:15.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey, 1450. WCTC with The Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
You're back with The Restaurant Guys, Mark Pascal and Francis Schott. And today we have with us a very special guest to talk about etiquette. And etiquette is My mother always said it was a dying art. Every
generation. I was about to say, you better pay close attention today, Francis.
Exactly. We have with us Maureen Wild from High Road Solutions. She's an expert in business etiquette and business ethics as well, and will give you classes, if you like, if you are a rude and slovenly fellow. Hi there, Maureen.
Hi there. Good morning.
Good morning, Maureen. How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
Maureen, how long have you been teaching business etiquette?
I've been at this about 5-6 years now.
There seems to be, especially in New Jersey, but all around the country, a heightened awareness of business etiquette, and we see more people giving classes and taking classes. Is that the case?
Yes, it absolutely is. In fact, my little tagline when I go to little networking meetings is, if you're working with clueless, unscrupulous cretins, I'm the woman to call. And my phone has been ringing off the
hook. I was about to say, I think most of us have at least one or two people we could call and send your way.
Yeah.
Do you do family training as well? I'm just kidding. I have some extended family. I have some cousins I'd like to introduce you to. So now, how does this work? You give classes on etiquette, and how do people come and hire you to go to their site, or do they come to your site?
Well, let me just say how this evolved. I'm more surprised than anybody.
Wait, can I just throw out one thing?
Yes.
It strikes me that the rudest people would be the ones least likely to go take a class on etiquette.
There you go. I'm always preaching to the choir. People who will put time and money aside for this kind of thing just need, you know, to be polished up a little bit. They're already on track.
But, you know, now that I think about it, it's a great, if a little bit barbed, bit of a gift to give someone.
Merry
right.
Christmas.
Here's a certificate. There you go.
Guess that somebody needs etiquette training. I don't know.
Merry Christmas. Here's some couth.
There you go.
So, I'm sorry. So you do tell us how this came about.
Okay. I was married to a fellow who graduated from West Point and had to learn military protocol when we lived overseas, because I did a lot of hostessing, that kind of thing, with NATO. Then I came back. We were living in the suburbs here in New Jersey, and I just missed that, hi, ma'am, thank you, please, and may I, and excuse me. It was absent from the scene here in New Jersey. So I was complaining to my sister-in-law. I had small children at the time. And she said, you know what? You're a teacher. I was a secondary school teacher. You're a teacher. Go to the protocol school in Washington, D.C. They train diplomats. Become certified and do kiddie etiquette programs. So I did. I did Girl Scout troops, PTA meetings, things like that. And I got a job at the Hilton at Short Hills here in New Jersey doing a children's etiquette program.
Did you work with George Stakos, who does the dining etiquette?
Oh, well,
well,
I worked with Mark Brett, I don't believe George was there when I was teaching there, but that's where it kind of catapulted me into the corporate arena. I never dreamed that I would get calls. They said, well, you're doing this with kids, but would you feel comfortable coming in and talking to our, you know, executive staff or to
our
new trainees?
Who did that? Who was the first to say, you know, these kids are better behaved than my executive. Why don't I hire Maureen?
No. I don't want to disclose. It was a pharmaceutical company, actually,
really?
Here in New Jersey. Uh-huh.
And they brought people in. What was their need that they identified that they said, you know, we just need to teach these people some manners?
Well, that was it. Basic manners. How to do introductions. How to shake hands properly. Eye contact. Making small talk. I get a lot of requests from people that say, could you please advise people not to use the F word, not to use profanity in the workplace?
Boy.
And, you know, you're meeting a client. You would think that would be unthinkable, but unfortunately, people need to be coached on common sense issues.
Mm, the thing that has amazed me since owning my own business is how people will show up for an interview.
Oh, that's the truth.
Just the clothes that they wear, the demeanor that they have, that they'll occasionally have a cocktail while they're waiting at the bar to have your interview with you. I'm always amazed at the things people will do and say during an interview or before an interview.
Well, you know, you can lose that on a promotion or a job interview just because of a social gaffe. And I'm the first to admit that I am not a rocket scientist. This is not something you have to get your PhD and go to Harvard for. This is really common sense. But unfortunately, I think it starts in the schools because there's no dress code anymore. Teachers are afraid to correct students and kind of advise them of correct behavior because of litigation. So, and parents are busy. They're working, making a living. So there's nobody kind of putting the boundaries in place.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, you go all through K through postgraduate school, and you start off in the workplace, and you have no idea that, gee, you know what? I really ought to iron my pants before I go to work. And, you know, maybe I should wear my Nikes to the office.
Do you know what's interesting, Maureen, is that we have our own etiquette classes, and I'm amazed at people come to us from all different ethnic backgrounds and from all different ways of growing up and all different places, because
right.
We run a fine dining restaurant at Rutgers University here in New Brunswick. Rutgers University is in town.
Yes.
And we pull a lot of our employees, especially our entry-level employees, from Rutgers University.
Yes.
And We obviously bring them into a formal fine dining restaurant, and so there is a lot to be learned. I mean, your teacher may have been afraid to tell you to iron your pants.
But I'm not.
You look like an idiot. You can't do that. My favorite is the old, and they range from people just trying to skirt it, like they know they should wear a T-shirt under their white shirt,
right?
But they don't quite realize that the Grateful Dead emblem is showing through their shirt.
That's funny.
So you like the Dead, huh? Yeah, man, you too. No, but you're gonna have to change your shirt. But it ranges from that through people who really have no idea. And what's interesting for us is we get to teach these people ourselves, but they're often 19, 20, 21, 22 years old.
Right.
And we're in the business of presenting a certain social milieu, and that's I have the entree there to do that. I'd imagine that if you're an executive dealing with a 40-year-old executive who should know better, there's a point where you say, could you not slurp your soup? Would be a little.
Oh, well, you're absolutely right. I mean, you say slurp your soup. That's an innocent little problem. That's... people scratch their heads with forks. They lick
hysterical.
The knives. You know.
We're talking with Maureen Wild. She's a business etiquette expert as well as an ethics expert, and we're going to be talking with her more about how you cannot be a clod when you're out to dinner. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450, and the time is 11:25.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark Pascal and Francis Schott. Today we're speaking with Maureen Wild of High Road Solutions, who specializes in teaching people about etiquette. And Maureen, we were just talking a little bit about interview behavior and what you should wear on the job, but we got a little bit into what you should do at table. And I think that certainly... This is The Restaurant Guys. We need to talk a little bit at table.
Right.
And why don't we talk about, I know you have some clues for people who may be going out to formal dining for the first time in their life or not know how to act in certain atmospheres. So why don't we give them some of your basic tips, and let's start with, what's yours on the table?
Well, okay. I think the most important thing when I do these programs, evidently we're on the same wavelength, we're trying to train people. I think the most important thing people can do is realize where their table setting begins and ends. So often someone's drinking somebody else's wine or Coke or eating somebody else's, hard roll at the table they just aren't sure what fork to use and is that my water glass? Is that your water glass? And we aren't talking about 20-year-olds. We're talking about people in their 50s.
Yeah.
And, so I think if we can just teach them, I always say, BMW, like the car. Your bread is on the left, and then your meal is in the middle, and then the W would be the water is on the right. So if they know basics like that, at least they can sit down and they're not talking to a business colleague and munching away on their food.
Right. I like that BMW. You start at the left,
mm-hmm.
work your way through. Bread, meal, water,
right.
Wine.
I've been that unfortunate person because, the person who's eating the wrong roll doesn't really realize it, so he's got some bread.
Exactly. You go right around the table and everybody's eating the wrong roll.
Now, I've been in a situation where everybody's doing it right except the other guy who's on my left is eating the roll on his right.
Right.
I got no bread.
And you have to suck it up and just go for it.
And not only that, I'm staring at the uneaten bread on his left. would it be rude? You're an expert. Would it be rude to ask him to pass me that bread?
Hey, listen, you clod. No. No, something like that, of course, we're going to ask the wait staff, would you please bring me another roll?
Yeah,
that kind of thing. And people really do feel humiliated, and that's where this training comes in. We want you to feel confident at the table. This is not about snobbery. I did not come from a blue blood family or anything like that. It's about feeling confident and being able to discuss business and not be preoccupied with, oh my gosh, here comes Linguini. What do I do next?
I'm from a blue collar family myself, and what I do in that situation, just so you know, is I ask the waiter to bring me a roll and hand it directly to me.
Put it on a big plate in the middle. Make sure nobody else gets it.
Hand it to me. You're talking to Maureen with High Road Solutions, which is her company where she teaches business etiquette and business ethics. And we'll be back to talk more with her in just a moment. This is The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:30.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody. everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal here with my partner, Francis Schott. We own Stage Left Restaurant in New Brunswick, New Jersey, and we're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com, where now you can podcast us on iTunes or Podcast Alley or one of those other little delightful podcasting networks.
Mark really doesn't know how that all works, everybody.
I just click on it. There's my show. Yippee.
He says, Francis, set up my computer to get it back. We are talking with today Maureen Wild, who is an expert on etiquette and business ethics, and we're talking to her about how not to be a clod out in public. Welcome back, Maureen.
Thank you.
Well, there are a lot of benefits to being in control and in command at the table.
Mm-hmm.
I hearken back to a story of one of our employees who worked with us for about 5 years, and just got a job with Merrill Lynch. Mm-hmm. Now he's at the bottom level of Merrill Lynch right now, but because he had a good grasp of wine and business etiquette and all the things that should be happening at the table, well, what happens when they sit down? His boss hands him the wine list.
Right.
He takes control of the meeting.
Right.
He's looked at as an expert all of a sudden,
right,
even though he's the bottom rung of that dinner table as far as their business goes. But he's being looked up to because he has that savvy.
Right. Well, you do. You get the high visibility, assignments, and you are considered first for the jobs that, you know, you're the representative. You're like the diplomat for the company that you work for. And if you're equally competent to the guy in the next cubicle, but you've got the social skills in place, let's face it, you've outclassed your competition.
You know, there's an economic impact to having good manners, and I think that's one of the reasons that we see the rise of classes like yours, because you teach classes to consumers and to corporations.
Mm-hmm.
But there's that story floating around about this, we'll just say it's a major financial consulting company, where they recently lost a $30 million deal because one of the directors licked his knife.
Oh, that's right.
Did you hear about that?
Yes, it was in, I believe that was in Business Week
a couple months
ago.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I've seen, well, I actually witnessed this firsthand. A friend of mine, I was at a hospitality industry networking event, and a friend of mine is an event planner, and she wanted to meet someone from one of the major hotel chains to see if they could do business together. And he's a very prominent man, and when he finally approached her, she was on cloud nine. He asked for her business card, she handed it over, and he began to pick his teeth with it as if it were a toothpick. She was crestfallen, and all of a sudden, oh my gosh, Superman just fell off his pedestal.
Did he mean to insult her and say she was worthless?
I just think it was just an unconscious thing, like, I have chicken in my tooth and give me your card. But of course, she had no idea that would be the consequence.
Ouch.
And now when we think of this guy, he had such a lofty, we think of him as a real goofball.
Yeah.
And not to mention, there's a little piece of chicken on the side of your business card.
That's right.
You know, one of the things I think that's interesting, you talked about being stationed with your husband abroad.
Mm-hmm.
The differences in etiquette, do you deal at all with the differences in etiquette in different cultures?
I tell you the truth, I have a cursory knowledge. That is really an intense field. I have a girlfriend who works at the UN, and she took a class, I think it was 3 solid months of just learning all the nuances of etiquettes around the world. Asian etiquette is different from European, is different from Latin American, and certainly is different from the United States. But I can tell you this, we are the most laid back, and some of our behaviors, people from around the world find absolutely appalling.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in a global economy now, so we really can't afford to be klutzes when we're doing business.
I would love to give people a few etiquette tips from your class and maybe some of the things that we've stumbled over in our years of being in a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with the basics. Let's start with we talked a little bit about which bread plate is yours. Let's talk about how do you know what silverware to use and how to decide that your meal is finished.
Well, that's right. Of course, we've heard this, but a lot of people haven't, that you work from the outside in.
Mm-hmm.
So you work from, pick up the, and you can see by the size of the forks that you're going to be having a salad or some kind of little appetizer. And then as the forks get larger, it means your entree, the heartier part of the meal is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And the soup spoons, a good way to remember is forks are on the left. Fork is a four-letter word, F-O-R-K, left, L-E-F-T. That's one way to remember. And spoon and knife are on the right. And right is a five-letter word, just like spoon and knife are. That's a way to teach people. I think that's essential. Also, don't order more courses than the people you're dining with,
that's
particularly
a big one.
In business.
That's a big one.
Yeah, if they're having three courses, don't be the nut that's sitting there eating minestrone when nobody else got soup.
I'll have the nine-course tasting menu, please. You know, it's funny. Sometimes business people take us out and we're the clients.
Yeah.
And they'll say, and they're taking us out for lunch or dinner.
Yeah.
And they'll say, well, we're going to take you out to lunch. Okay, great. Well, we're going to have, what are you going to have? The order comes, I'm super salad. If I'm the client,
yeah.
I might just say, oh, I'm having the tasting menu. Sure.
Right.
But not if I'm taking out a client.
No.
You know?
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. You have to take your cues from the people, right, from your guest.
Right.
After we've said this now, no one's going to buy me lunch anymore.
They're going to say, oh, this guy, we've got to be on a... That's what I hate about what I do is that people get really uptight with me. And that's the... If there's one point I'd like to stress. It's not about being a snob. It really is not. Etiquette, there are rules. If you look at the history of etiquette, there are some things that... It was a way to assess who was in the higher social strata. But this is about confidence. This is about being able to walk into a room and not feeling stupid.
Right. Well, we're talking about making our listeners feel more comfortable when they're in these settings. We're not talking about the you know, necessarily that we're going to look at you with disdain. It's certainly in our restaurant, use whatever fork you want.
Right.
I don't care at all. The only reason I'm disseminating this information is so that you can feel more comfortable with your guests.
I don't care. You're paying the bill.
Exactly. It's coming.
Well, you know what kills me, too, is that sometimes the wait staff is much more refined than the people they're serving, and that I feel so bad about that. They know all the rules. They know how to behave. They're very refined, and they're working with people that are absolute slobs.
But do you know what's interesting about that, Maureen, is one of the real problems that can arise is if you're working in a restaurant as a serving staff and you're serving a table and someone is not obeying the rules of etiquette but not offending anyone else in the dining room, this is not a time where they didn't come to learn etiquette from me and my staff, you know, and I think that sometimes you go to a place and you might make a faux pas or you might do something a little differently. And if the waiter corrects a patron,
gosh, no,
I mean, that's
a faux pas.
That's exactly what it is. Bring business through the door.
But right. No, but I've seen that happen and there is nothing that pisses off a patron more than that.
You're absolutely right. But then, you know what? The hard part is there are many restaurants that everybody else is behaving. You've got one, table in the corner where people are being loud or using profanity or telling off-color jokes or having their kids scoot through the tables and, you're paying top dollar and enjoying a beautiful meal and somebody's kid is, like, playing tag in the dining room. That's an awfully hard thing for restaurant owners.
Well, our rule is you're allowed to have as much fun as you want, but you're not allowed to infringe on somebody else's fun.
That's right.
You know, one of the most difficult situation a restaurateur can be put in is when he has to balance or she has to balance the interests of one guest versus the interests of another guest.
Yes.
Because I can always say yes if it means my staff has to work harder, I have to work harder, I have to get something, I have to do something for you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to watch a movie on your laptop computer, but the table next to you doesn't want to watch that movie.
Or hear that movie.
Or see the light flicker on the wall when the dragon eats the spaceship. That's when the restaurateur has to say, I'm sorry, you can't do that. I mean, where do you stand on cell phones in the dining room?
Well, they have to be off. They have turned off or on vibrate. And then if you do get a call, if it is on vibrate and it's something you must take, then you have to excuse yourself and run out to the hallway, foyer, restroom, and have your conversation there. It's just so rude. I tell people in a high, fine dining to leave their cell phones maybe with the maitre d'. Mm-hmm. And if it were to vibrate, the maitre d' can tap them on the shoulder and say, there's a call for you, sir, and out you go. But there's a new book out by Barbara Pachter, that idiot with the cell phone.
I saw that book.
Yeah, mandatory reading for everybody.
We'll just talk for another second or two about cell phones. And I just want to reiterate that you're not just being rude to the people at your party, which is what I think you're doing. But people tend to talk louder on their cell phones.
Uh-huh.
And you're a distraction in the dining room for everyone else who's in there. And literally, I was at the table with a friend of mine the other day, and she went to make a cell phone call. And I said, please don't do that. She said, oh, no. I said, okay, well, if you really need to do that, I have to get up from the table and leave because I don't want my other patrons to think that I'm condoning this.
No, actually, it's called the absent other. You're with somebody and you treat them as if they're, part of the furniture, and you're making a call out like you're so unworthy, I don't even want to give you eye contact, and I don't know why. You see teenagers do this a lot. They'll be at the mall, you see packs of these kids walking through the mall with their cell phones. They're with their friends and calling other friends who aren't present.
Yeah, I think that the whole new technology provides us with new challenges for etiquette, and we're going to talk more about that. We're talking with Maureen Wild. She's a business etiquette expert. She's with High Road Solutions. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:45. Back with The Restaurant Guys. We're talking today with Maureen Wild from High Road Solutions. You can find her at www.highroadsolutions.com, and we'll put that up on our website, restaurantguysradio.com, later on, so you can find out how to sign up for business etiquette classes and all etiquette classes for your children, or any kind of way to, if you feel like you're being a bit of a clod. And I want to talk to you about horror stories. I have a few amusing stories, and one of the things I like is we used to conduct a lot of interviews. We still conduct a lot of interviews.
We also have some stories that don't amuse us as much.
No, they aren't amusing. Okay.
But entry level, you talk about people when they dress for an interview or they act inappropriately at the interview and they don't get the job. We get a lot of that.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
all you kids out there, what your parents told you is true. And frankly, you get it from adults too.
Yeah. Yeah.
This person,
don't bring your girlfriend to the interview.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, how about that whole story just recently where, I can't remember the team, but it was a team of kids, maybe they were lacrosse players, that went to the White House in rubber flip-flops.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one girl wore rubber flip-flops and had her picture taken with the President of the United States.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you might. The funny thing is that if you died or you were burying Grandma, you wouldn't put Grandma in the casket, you know, in a pair of shorts and a shirt that says, I'm with stupid. You'd dress her up.
Right.
She's going underground. So I don't understand why, you know, you'd go to a job interview dressed like you're going to play tennis or, you know, rake leaves.
My favorite job interview etiquette story, it's a very mild one. There have been some really awful ones. But my favorite story is I was interviewing a girl, and she was chewing gum.
Yeah.
And I say girl because she was chewing gum. during the whole interview, and the interview our first interviews are often very brief. They're just to give us an overview of whether we want to bring you back or not.
Just look at you and see whether or not you chew gum during
an
interview.
Exactly. So I had four questions to ask her. And by the way, the four-question interview, you probably haven't gotten the job. but my fourth question was, I said, do you have any questions for me? She said, no. And I said, I have one final question for you.
Yeah.
She said, yeah. I said, is that grape or strawberry bubble gum you're chewing? And she didn't even know that I was busting her chops. She, like, looked up at the sky, thought about it for a moment, and said, grape.
Yeah.
I said, thank you. This concludes the interview.
That's who I want looking for me. She was great.
I should have a stack of your business cards to give these people. So do you have... What are your war stories for us? People who the true faux pas.
Oh, there are just so many. I mean, what you just said about the gum. I'm always saying I have this little thing that I learned in eighth grade from my math teacher. The gum chewing girl and the cud chewing cow look so much alike, but yet different somehow.
Yeah.
What can it be? I think I know now. The intelligent look on the face of the cow. I mean, I'm doing this with people in their 30s and 40s, and you know, when they leave the classroom or the seminar, they say, "Oh, thank you for that. You know, I'm going to recite that little ditty to somebody down in the next cubicle," and I think, I learned that in eighth grade. But,
but you know, it's funny, I often start things like that with little etiquettes where we talk to the staff, little mm-hmm. points of etiquette. I say, and they're things just like that. And I'll
yeah.
say, you know, your eighth grade teacher,
yeah.
and you thought she was full of it?
Yeah.
She was right. Okay?
Yeah. Right.
You might have said you don't have a job one day and your boss will think you're nitty if you're chewing gum? Yep.
Yeah, there you go.
I had somebody come into to an interview and I couldn't not ask this question.
Mm-hmm.
So, what made you decide on that outfit today? And and he replied, "Oh yeah, all my clothes were dirty, and you know, I need to do laundry." And I said, "Okay, well, what made you decide on those dirty clothes then?"
I know. See, that's the thing. We're trying to take the high road, but sometimes you just
I can't. I'm sorry.
What are you thinking?
Sometimes I'm in that interview, and I almost feel like I'm doing them a service.
Yeah.
By
pointing out why you're ridiculous.
Well, that's right. Well, that's why I say clueless cretins, because they are perfectly clueless. Even when you're trying to coach them gently, you really have to be direct with people.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just don't get it. I do a lot of work with pharmaceuticals. So these are people that are very well educated, make top dollar. I can't tell you the horror story. You know, you'll be sitting with a client.
Yes, you can. Tell us the horror story.
Yeah. You'll be sitting with a client presenting some kind of a proposal, and your colleague starts to bite his nails or pick at his fingernails or take the lint out of the cuff of his pants or, you know, start to play with earwax, and you're thinking, oh, my God, you know, this is inappropriate. Pen clicking, people who like click, 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 you know, or they're jiggling their knees, and you know, it's one thing you can slap your kid and say, cut that out. But how do you do that when it's one of your business associates?
What do you do if it's your boss?
Yeah, if it's your boss, that's right.
If it's your boss, you let him alone.
Yeah, if it's your boss, you kind of...
You say, oh, nice nails.
if it's your subordinate when they're playing with their earwax, you're like, you know what my mom used to say? She'd say, you going to make a candle with that?
Oh, God.
So that was the point, to get you to go, oh, all right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, what do you have other stories from the front lines?
Well,
what
the front lines, I feel sorry for men these days. I really, really do. They're caught between a rock and a hard place. I mean, they're either called sexist, they're called, you know, they don't have any chivalry. I don't know what guys are supposed to do. And I coach women all the time to, would you get your act together, too? We're always dumping on guys, but women just don't know how to behave. I've had so many men say, I can't say this, but while you're here, would you please advise women to wear more modest clothing to the workplace? I mean, their cleavages, they're spilling out of their blouses, their skirts are too short, and we're not talking Christie Brinkley here. We're talking big, heavy women that are you know, with the belly rings coming through the spandex tops, and they're in an executive workplace.
Well, I don't think it matters what size you are there. I just think you need to dress like a professional.
That's exactly
unless
your age.
Unless you're a swimsuit model, professional doesn't dress.
But if you're at Hooters, you dress appropriately.
I know, and you're absolutely right about how people. In fact, I have a wonderful story with an HR colleague of mine who was interviewing two college graduates for a job. A nice, well-paying starter job at a university. And she said the one girl, she was leaning toward this girl. Her resume was excellent. She had graduated from one of the Seven Sister Schools and had done all these great internships. And on paper, looked wonderful. Well, the girl
we're gonna have to hold this story, and you're going to give us the punchline when we get back. And we're going to talk about a big faux pas in just a moment. Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:55. Welcome back here with the Restaurant Guys. We are talking with Maureen Wild about etiquette, and we're just about to hear a story about a tremendous faux pas. Maureen?
Yes, a woman who had graduated from a very fine college with a great resume, wonderful internships, was interviewing for a job at a prominent university. And she arrived for the interview, you know, in one of those camisole shirts and a low-rise jeans, a pair of flip-flops on her feet, and had her hair, like, twisted up in a meatball on top of her head with a clip.
Was it for the job of lifeguard?
Yeah, there you go. And my friend was appalled. She said, oh, my gosh, you know, this is not a starting salary of, like, $15,000 a year. We're starting them at a good competitive rate, and she would be doing a lot of interfacing with other universities. And then they had interviewed this other fellow who had graduated from a state university with a B average, but he showed up really with a crisp shirt and tie.
Can we not make fun of people who graduated from state universities with B averages, please? That's really important to me personally.
Barely a B.
There you go. Well, Pete has a very happy ending. That this other fellow had such finesse and was so such an eager beaver and interviewed so skillfully that he got the job in a heartbeat, hands down, over this other woman that on paper just looked like she was, going to rocket to the stars.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's just that you do have that advantage. You know, business etiquette is that unspoken professional tool.
And presentation counts. And the point of etiquette is to lay out some ground rules so that we all know how to behave so that we don't offend each other. It's about being gracious, and it's about making others feel comfortable. And that's why we take the time to learn these.
And I think the biggest point that we make in this whole show today is be gracious, be conscious, be polite, be nice. And that will ingratiate you to most people. And you know, if you grab the wrong fork, it'll be okay.
Absolutely.
Hey, Maureen, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us here in the Restaurant Guys.
Oh, thank you, Mark and Francis. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks,
Maureen. A lot of fun indeed. That was Maureen Wild. She's an expert in business etiquette and business ethics. And if you would like to learn more about her or even learn more about you and what you're doing wrong, you can contact her at www.highroadsolutions.com and maybe take a class on etiquette. And Mark? Your Christmas present. Gift certificate is what you're getting.
If I'm going, you're going. Okay, that's how it's going
to
work.
Because I don't think it's really an etiquette problem. You just need to be nicer to me is what you need to do.
You're the only person I'm mean to.
Yeah, it's true. What's up with that? Let's talk about it off the air. You've spent another hour listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450, times 12 noon.